You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Here we go. Hour 2, G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Tommy Yarish coming up from DallasCowboys.com at 3:40 for Krusty's Corner. Send Brian some love on social. Let him know that he is missed. And send Wolchuk some love as well, although he's going to be in here within a couple of hours. Just had a little recital situation there for little toddler Eliza. So precious. Here's Chief with your sports.
Got a little hodgepodge for you. Cowboys sked. Couple of updates. And, man, you know, we've always heard brought us interrupt us, and we thought, man, is this personal against us? Is this something he has a vengeance, like he doesn't think what we have to say is important enough, and he wants to chime in? Apparently that's not the case, and I'll prove it to you right after this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening?
Well, it
to you
is
guys?
The home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly.
We
no one's
thousands.
Listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that, you rude mother.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Don't be
little shock jock stuff.
Okay, I'm excited for the idea of the social media teams for each NFL team cranking out fun content in regards to the schedule release. All right, the San Diego or the LA Chargers have been the one seed over the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years. Their creativity is pretty fantastic, leaving all sorts of funny Easter eggs, making fun of people at a high level. We'll see how the Cowboys do. They had like a little teaser, and it had Tyler Guyton, Tyler Booker, and Tyler Smith. The three Tylers, and they were all wearing, I don't know, it's like looks like they're wearing some type of Star Wars gear. Like, I don't know if there's going to be like a Star Wars twist on this or something. If you want to take a little peek ski at this video, I don't know what they're really doing, but they're in these robes with the hoods kind of covering their faces up a little bit. Like Revenge of the Sith kind of vibes. I'm just guessing Star Wars. That's the vibe I got from it. But that's what they did as like a little 15-second teaser video that they dropped yesterday, okay, in lead up to the NFL schedule release.
I would like some explanation. I'm going to jump in the comments, Chief. I think Star Wars, Sith Lord type of stuff is the best guess.
Okay, thank you.
But who knows? It seems like a little irrelevant right now. You know, it's not a Star Wars summer or anything,
I
is
know.
It?
I don't know what their I don't
Star
know
Wars
what their
always
plan
that
is.
Hot. Yeah. You can do a Cowboys schedule release promo with a Star Wars theme,
it
just
might
out of
be.
Nowhere?
Yeah, I mean, Hagee was pretty aroused by the Star Wars Dallas Cowboys collab, if that is what it is. So we'll see.
I just googled it, Sith Lord, dude.
Isn't that crazy?
You sure you want to do this?
Yeah, dude.
Cowboys, are you sure?
Yeah.
You don't want to disrespect anybody.
Yeah,
that's the brass, that's maybe the ownership or something like that.
They got Jerry in the video.
Yeah.
Well, it's also been reported by Yahoo Sports that the NFL will not be reviewing teams' videos, their social videos for the schedule release, where they're cracking jokes on people. They will not be reviewing the team's videos for jokes surrounding Mike Vrabel and Russini. So the league is letting teams use their own judgment regarding potential content about Vrabel's connection with Diana Russini.
So they're not going to block Vrabel-Russini jokes?
I guess not.
Okay.
It is just your own judgment as a team.
So they're saying if it's actually funny, we'll probably let you get away with it. But don't you dare make a distasteful joke that isn't funny.
The ceiling is the roof.
That's when you really get in trouble.
It better be funny.
Yeah.
It better be funny. But the pressure's on for the Chargers social media team because they have been so good and everybody's anticipating whatever reference they make to Russini and Vrabel is going to be pretty dang top tier. So, looking forward to all of that. Now, Wolchuk has sent me his Notes app, which is basically a Google Doc, and he's just constantly updating things in regards to the schedule based on the way he is, what he's hearing about it. So, he thinks their bye week is going to be week 14. So, you get the Eagles Thanksgiving game.
I like it.
A little like late that. Season bye?
Yeah. I mean, middle of the season makes sense, but if you're looking for extra time to get right for the playoffs, assuming the goal is the playoffs, that extra week to get healthy could pay off in ways you couldn't possibly imagine.
Especially after that crazy November stretch where you have all these games so close to each other. It makes plenty of sense. So the week 14 bye is what Walchuk is saying. He's also noting, as he's toloing right now, we have the Mandalorian and the Grogu movie coming out next Friday, which is Star Wars related. So I guess maybe they're trying to kind of jump on that particular wave right there.
Do you
there.
Get paid for that? Like if you're the Cowboys and those three Tylers, are you getting paid for doing some Star Wars type stuff?
It's hard to imagine that the Joneses aren't collecting some level of a check here for promoting your shows, right? I mean, they're businessmen at the end of the day. So he's thinking, of course, we know the Giants game. Week two, he thinks, is home versus the Commanders. Then you have the Ravens game in Brazil. Then you go to Houston in week four. Bucks Thursday night football week five. Then to Lambeau to take on potentially Micah Parsons and the Packers.
He might not be back by then. That injury was like December 15th, 17th.
Yeah, it was late. It was late in Denver.
So week six, we're like 10 months out from injury.
That might be like his first game back.
Yeah.
Micah's first game back
as
the Cowboys come into Lambeau Field. Walchuk thinking that is going to be week six.
I'll take it.
Then you go on the road again Monday night football in week seven versus the Eagles. Okay, so that's your first 7 weeks. Walchuk's feeling good about those first seven. Thinks that's what it's going to be. Road, home, home, road, home, road, road.
Is he piecing together leaks, or is he guessing, you think?
He's piecing.
Okay.
No, he's piecing together. I think he's probably sourcing some of this stuff. He's scouring the internet. He's seeing, this team, they announced for sure that they're playing this game here, so the Cowboys can't be playing them that week. So we're open on week 8, week 9. We don't know what's going to happen. Week 10, home versus the Niners is what Walchuk is thinking. Week 11, he's not sure. Then you get week 12 through 18, he's got it figured out.
At least
that's what he's thinking. Eagles, Thanksgiving, at Seattle, Monday Night Football. After that Thanksgiving game. So you're going to go Eagles at Seattle, bye week, week 14. Then you go to LA to take on the Rams, so you get a nice little buffer between Seattle and the Rams. Then you got Sunday Night Football at home, week 16 versus the Jags, week 17 at home versus the Giants, week 18 on the road versus the Commanders. That's how Walchuk's feeling right now.
That is fantastic. Salute
Walchuk's
to Zach.
In his bag, dude. He loves this. He's fired up for this.
He and Brian both love it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is a theory that I've had for quite some time about how this became so big. Are you ready for it? How did the NFL schedule release get so big? You see where I'm going with this? I think insider-type dudes obsess about this because they want to be the smartest guy in the room.
Oh, for sure.
They want to out-insider one another.
For sure.
So after a decade of them having insider offs in the build-up to this, there's been so much engagement and tweets about it that it's become a big deal. You know,
I believe
they manifested this. Insiders trying to one up each other manifested this into a legitimate news event. Thanks,
look around.
Guys.
We built this. Look around.
That's right.
Look around you.
Yeah.
We built this.
Two thumbs back at us. It looks like it's also George Lucas's birthday today, according to the 817.
Cool.
So you got a lot of Star Wars stuff going down. That's what's happening. We'll see if the Cowboys are taking a little Star Wars theme into their social schedule release video. Now, this is going to be fun here, and I hate to do it at his expense with him not here. Believe me, if Broadus was here, we would still be doing this. But he just so happens to be out right now for the first time in a long time. And we know that Broadus is known for being, what is he, Lucius? He's the Interruptosaurus Rex.
Yeah, Interruptosaurus Rex.
That's what he is.
That old fossil he is.
That old fossil. And we know he's somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 to 100,000 years old. He won't totally tell us, but he's been around a long time.
Brian, can you turn your mic off?
That's what the people were saying back on 1939, July 4th, 1939, during the Lou Gehrig Appreciation Day at Yankee Stadium. You had Gehrig delivering his famous Luckiest Man farewell speech to a crowd of over 61,000 fans between games of a doubleheader. And so in the speech, he addressed his recent, at the time, recent diagnosis of the ALS, which is often called the Lou Gehrig's disease at this point. Well, we have discovered some archival footage of Broaddus watching this luckiest man speech in real time, and he does, he's been doing the interrupting thing forever.
For the past 2 weeks, you've been reading about a bad Greg. Today,
man, this popcorn is stale, isn't it?
The luckiest man on the face of the earth.
How can the guy be lucky? I mean, seriously. What's he got? He's got the, is it typhoid?
Wouldn't you consider it frivolous?
Or scurvy? I think it's scurvy. I think he's got scurvy.
Typhoid. With such a fine looking man as a standing in uniform in this ballpark today.
Yeah, he's not going to be looking so good. Seriously, he can't even in anymore. He's going to look like a candy cane all bent over soon.
Oh, God. I mean, very, very aggressive, intrusive thoughts that Broaddus can't help but let fly out of his mouth in real time. Okay, so it's not just us. It's not just you, Dawson.
No.
He's not essing on your takes.
No.
It's even Lou Gehrig. In, yep, like, the most vulnerable moment of his entire existence.
Yeah.
In front of a 60,000-plus people crowd. There he is, Broaddus, complaining about stale popcorn and complaining about the idea that Lou Gehrig's not going to be able to hit anymore. Lashing out. This is who Broaddus has been forever. And it doesn't just stop there. Okay? So that was back in 1939, and I think that was sort of Broaddus' prime.
It's a hell of a throwback Thursday. Appreciate it, Eric.
It is, man.
July 4th of 39.
Yeah.
Broaddus is back there interrupting the fans at the original Yankee Stadium.
Just doing his thing. Being himself. We appreciate that. Now, we fast forward to December 8th, 1941. FDR addressed a joint session of Congress and the nation. And this is a date which will live in infamy. And here was Broaddus interrupting the entire thing.
December 7th, 1941.
Who did it?
A date which will live...
Was that Germany or was that Japan?
The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked.
Watch, he's going to say Germany, I
by
bet.
By naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
That was my next guess.
The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation.
Does he speak Japanese?
Government,
I didn't know that.
Its emperor.
Is that, has he always known Japanese, or is that like, you think, like once he lost use of his legs, did like make his brain stronger? Hey, speaking of Germany, why does he wear that mustache, the Hitler guy? It's just a dumb mustache, right? Like, why does anybody take them seriously? Is that like considered attractive there in Germany?
Oh, God, bro. So aggressive, asking the most ridiculous rhetorical questions that no one can answer. There he is, Broaddus in his prime back in the late 30s and early 40s. He's been interrupting for hundreds of years.
Can you imagine? I mean, being Wolchuk, getting interrupted game one of the World Series. You know?
Yeah, dude.
There's no way he's going to hit a home run here. They haven't done it all year. I mean, seriously. We can beat the traffic. We'll be back in our beds at 10 o'clock.
We can listen to Nate Dell and Hixie on the way. He is incredible. We love him, and we appreciate that he stays true to himself.
He does.
No matter the decade.
Thank you, Chief. There it is.
I bet you he's going to say Germany right here. Still just hitting me, bro.
I bet she's going to say, hold on, dog. You got to hear me. Hold on.
Was suddenly and deliberately attacked.
Watch, he's going to say Germany, I bet.
By naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
That was my next guess.
Thank you, Broadus.
Yeah.
What a legend.
Yeah. We're sitting here in studio after a Cowboys game listening to the shoddy press conference, and it's like, bro.
Yeah. He's talking over. He's like, watch, he's going to say this. He's going to say this. Okay. Oh, it's close.
We got the C-note coming up next. Then Tommy Yarish going to join you from DallasCowboys.com coming up at 3:40. It's the G-Bag Nation here. I want to find.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Matthew the Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Time now for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. The NFL schedule release is just over 3.5 hours away. Tommy Yarish, DallasCowboys.com, is going to join you for Krusty's Corner coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. We'll get the latest from him. I wonder if the guys in the building have seen schedules yet. Like, I've seen the preseason schedule that's not public, but we're at the Fan. We're a degree of separation further from, you know, inside the star right now. I wonder if Tommy has seen it yet.
I know, like, yeah, has his eyes gotten a glimpse of that?
Yeah.
And he's just having to shut his mouth for the next, whatever, 3 or 4 hours?
I mean, I guess
we'll dig it out of him.
We'll try here coming up at 3:40 or so. Tyrann Mathieu explaining why he predicts Caleb Downs to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Quote, I think Caleb has a great shot to have 100 tackles, 3 sacks, 3 picks. That's sort of my expectation for him. And, you know, Jerry's going to roll out the red carpet for him. So, you know, I guess that by that he means Jerry is going to be singing his praises at every turn. Could you imagine Jerry maybe trying to talk networks into giving Caleb Downs more love, writers into giving him more love? I could see that. You know, who was it last week? Skip Bayless said it when Troy Aikman went after the Cowboys that you could expect a phone call to go into Fox with Jerry saying, hey, you're letting your guy impact my brand negatively too much here. Are we partners or are we adversaries or something like that? And I thought that was a very interesting point by Skip Bayless because of the time that he spent at Fox.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, I do think it is, I think it's likely in one sense because obviously it makes Jerry look good, makes the Cowboys look good. We drafted that guy. I think there's also going to be a lot of the voters that have been hyping up Caleb Downs now for like 3 years that kind of get to prove themselves right. Hey, I've been telling you since this kid was a freshman in Alabama, he was going to be the man. And now look, I just put in the vote for him to be Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
And then to what Tyrann Mathieu said, that's kind of what we were talking about last week when we were going through the odds for Defensive Rookie of the Year. And Caleb Downs is like 7th or 8th on the list. So you kind of got a pretty good opportunity to make some money on it. And how you piece that together, how does a safety, you know, he's kind of a hybrid, but a safety kind of player win Rookie of the Year defensively? It's because you're the kind of guy that's doing a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
You're in position, you're making a bunch of tackles, you're getting TFLs, you're knifing in on blitzes and sacking the quarterback a couple of times, get your hands on a couple of footballs, you force a fumble here, you get an interception there. Now all of a sudden you look at the body of work and it's like, okay, he didn't lead the league in anything. It's not, oh my gosh, this was a ton of interceptions or a ton of sacks. It is, he had a buttload of tackles, had a handful of sacks, had a handful of turnovers, played like 100% of the downs.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And the Cowboys defense got better, I think, is a huge part of it. Can you
point. Great point.
If you make this defense average from giving up a league worst 31 points per game, you jump to average, you make the playoffs. And then, yeah, you're going to need some splash plays because safeties, they could be in position and make all the tackles and deter the quarterback from throwing it into their area and not get recognized for jack squat.
100%. 100%. And you saw that from Mike Sando when he sat down with us and he's making the case against Darren Woodson for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's like these guys, that they just don't care about tackles. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, I get that. Yeah. I get that. You can watch Shamar James make 15 tackles versus the Jets.
Yeah.
Go watch the game. Yeah. Did Shamar James have a good game? No.
We're cleaning up after the damage has already been done.
Yeah, you allow the catch 15 yards down the field, you made the tackle. Who cares? Oh, he ran for 15 yards, then you made the tackle. Who cares? It's Jalen Smith racking up a bunch of tackles, but what were the quality of those tackles? So it'll be a nice notch on the belt of Caleb Downs. Oh my gosh, he's got 100 tackles or something. Cool, but that's not getting it done. You got to have some sacks. You got to have some splash turnover type plays. And he's the kind of player, and Parker's going to put him in the type of position to be able to do that.
Yeah, give me some TFLs. Give me a very low, like, missed tackle rate. I'm pretty sure Caleb Downs is going to be able to do that immediately.
Yeah, he's solid.
But, I mean, that would be more picks than he had in any college season. He had two in each. Not horrible. Two picks in a college season is pretty good. You play 14 games, you play 16 games, something like that. But it would be more sacks than he's had in his entire career. So I think Christian Parker would have to have a plan to deploy him better than Ohio State did, or more aggressively.
That'd be a fun, maybe I can do it somewhat on the fly, but that would be a fun thing to look at. Like, how often was he blitzing at Ohio State or at Alabama? Because I do think that'll be something, if you're a nickel kind of player, that's a thing you see.
Yeah.
Those guys are, you're as much of a run defender as you are a pass defender. Mm-hmm. And so I think Parker is going to want to, especially with the Cowboys and how they're going to probably have to try and manufacture the pressure. They don't have the Micah Parsons. It's like, you're the dog. I know you're getting pressure. Christian Parker is going to be like, okay, I got to dial things up here. And that's the thing you love about Caleb Downs. I can put him in coverage. I can put him and make him play behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and as insistent as they were that their edge players can drop, you know, maybe that comes together for you. And I know some people are against great edges or great pressure players dropping, but when it's part of a sophisticated scheme and you have talented defensive backs who can get in there and finish, I absolutely love it. You know, it's just another way of offering that deception to the quarterback. Great stuff from Tommy Yarish, who again is going to join us in about 15 minutes or so. We go to DallasCowboys.com, and this is on Tyler Booker's impact in his rookie year. One of the reasons to feel better about this offense is Tyler Booker year two, Tyler Booker healthy. Can we get those things? On plays where Booker was on the field, Dallas rushing success rate was 43%. When he was off, it dropped 5% to 37.8. Just one player drops it 5%. Cowboys success rate increased when Booker was on the field. Additionally, the Cowboys averaged 4.6 yards per carry when Booker was on, 4.4 when he was off. You talk about moving that line of scrimmage. Defenses stuffed 11.8% of runs with Booker on the field, 16.2% when he was off. You got stuffed 4.5% more often when Tyler Booker was off the field. That is incredible. And they did a great job of running gap schemes behind him. Booker finished his rookie season with 5.9% quarterback pressure and allowed, which was third best among the rookie class behind Tate Rutledge and Gray Zabel. Booker's 5.9% pressure allowed percentage ranked 13th in the NFL among all guards who played 400 or more snaps, and Booker's credited with allowing 6.5 sacks last season. Only he allowed 1.5 sacks when blocking one-on-one, which was also third best among the rookie guard class. And I know last year a lot of the conversation was about, like, why did you take Booker at 12? Can you take a guard at 12? But when it comes to positional value, I'm seeing more and more where it's smoothing out between guard and tackle. And teams are starting to realize that maybe the interior is just as important. And apparently some of the numbers are starting to back this up.
For sure. I mean, we were talking about it in lead up to the Super Bowl. The best teams, what did they have? They had the interior defensive linemen.
Yeah.
The interior defensive linemen are now starting to become a premium position. You're seeing those guys get paid and the way they can affect the quarterback. So then on the flip side, all of a sudden, okay, if we're going to be treating defensive tackles like a premium position, then the guys that have to slow those guys down, inevitably they become a premium position, right? And so now you're starting to see – And you've seen it sprinkle in, but even this year, I mean, the Dolphins at 12 take Caden Proctor. He's playing guard this year. Now, yeah. I do think they have the plan for him to become a tackle at some point, but then you have the Penn State guard, Iowane, at 14, going to Baltimore. Baltimore is known for being a really good draft team, like one of the more respected front offices in when it comes to like drafting and scouting.
DaCosta said he feels like the league's starting to copy him.
Yeah, exactly. And so they take a guard at 14. So I don't think it is going to be as much of a talking point moving forward of, oh my gosh, can you really take a guard that high?
Yeah.
Because, and I mean, even, I think Maui Noah, is it Maui Noah? I think he gets picked 10 to the Giants. I think he's playing guard.
He is.
At least in year one, we'll see if he moves out.
Yeah.
But like, it's extremely important. You go back to Brady all those years ago. Man, I can deal with pressure off the edge, but gosh dang it, that pressure up the middle is a beating. Well, then you need some guards to keep that pocket clean.
Yeah, I love it, and it's crazy how this arms race has affected the defensive line, and the search for guys that can handle them is really what it's all about, because you got to have some sort of an athletic freak to be able to go backwards and then stop and handle like a 270-pound guy who's exploding forward out of a four-point stance. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going forward the way a human body is built to. So you got to find a guy who can go backwards and then anchor and not get pushed over.
Yeah.
Like the level of athletic freakishness that's involved there, it actually makes me think of Everson Walls, who joined us at the Super Bowl talking about how he had the gift of being able to run backwards. You know?
Oh, yeah. That was his superpower.
He was one of the slower corners in the league running forwards, but running backwards, he was the fastest guy in the league. And that allowed him to see the game in ways that, you know, ultimately contributed to his unbelievable 13 interception season. But Tyler Booker was not even one of the 3 second year guys Blogging the Boys is looking at. Dudes who should take a big year two leap for this football team. Donovan Ezeraku had 16.5 sacks his senior year. This is the biggest opportunity, isn't it? Had the labrum surgery, going to miss a lot of the offseason. When he shows up in Oxnard, how much stronger is he? Is he going to be able to add some power to his repertoire? How many moves can he add in a year where he's coming back from a surgery? But his pressure rate was so good last year, Chief. I believe the improved coverage is going to get him home. I'm going to ride Ezeraku over under sacks in 2026, 7.5. You going over under?
Ooh, I like this. It's so tough. If he wasn't coming off the injury, I think I would feel amazing about the over on that, especially with Christian Parker putting him in position to succeed. It's kind of a coin flip for me.
Okay, how about Revel? Does he hold his starting spot for the year?
Okay, that's another big one. I mean, you would like to think, I mean, with the way that Broaddus and Walchuk and all these guys scouted him coming out and him being a first-round talent and then now being that far removed from the injury and having Christian Parker, whose expertise is the secondary, I think that Revel's going to be really good this year.
I think
he will at least be starting caliber good. He won't be losing his job.
Yeah.
Unless he is just totally short-circuited from all that's happened to him. The confidence super low, the Eberflus stuff, and then the injury, whatever. But I think that Christian Parker and the new defense, I think he will be solid.
Sometimes the injury just doesn't come back close enough to 100%, and you're dealing with a lack of balance, a lack of strength, a lack of quick twitch in there that used to be there.
Yeah.
I assume that's coming back, you know, because the way that he played in college that made the scouts talk about him, he should be one of the more athletic and explosive guys, you know, capable of making a lot more plays than he showed last year. Then Trayshawn Holden, the really Oxnard star last year out of Oregon. He's fun to watch. He's slow, but he goes up and snags that thing, and would not be surprised at all if you know, Trayshawn Holden finds a way to get active on a couple of game days coming up this season. Krusty's corner, Tommy Yarish, going to step in and tell you everything you need to know about this football team and the schedule coming up next.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
the nation. All righty, welcome back. It's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Here's the king, us, Brian, Tommy Yarsh, Corner.
Hey, hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Yeah, buddy, Brian is he's out. He's going to be out for the next couple of shows. I think he's going to be in studio tomorrow, though, for a brief appearance. So we'll get his reactions tomorrow to the Cowboys schedule release coming up at 7 o'clock. But joining us now from DallasCowboys.com, it's Tommy Yarsh here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, Tommy. How you doing?
Good afternoon, guys. I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
We're doing outstanding. You know, it's a big day here for the Cowboys and the other NFL teams as they get to see what dates their known opponents will be coming into the stadium or they'll be going to theirs. But my question for you, Tommy, just to get this started, have you seen the schedule yet?
Be honest, Tom.
No. I'm being honest. No, I have not.
So you're not privy to something like that operating inside the building? Have you talked to anybody that has?
Probably, but they haven't told me, like, hey, I've got it. I try to, you know, stay out of everybody's hair, and I do my part when my part comes across the table, whenever that is. So maybe sometime here soon, but yeah, I'm not privy to it yet.
What do you think would happen? What's the punishment for an NFL employee that gets a hold of that thing and releases it early with this big TV show coming up tonight?
Great question. I don't want to find out is my answer. I like my job. I like covering this team, so I will do everything in my power not to find out.
They haven't threatened you then, huh? They haven't said this is what's going to happen. They're just trusting that you're just such a professional and you're a little bit scared.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I try. I definitely don't want to lose my job.
So. No, you know, you and me both.
I'm good with waiting like everybody else.
That's right. Okay, so how difficult do you think this schedule is with the NFC West and the AFC South teams in your best estimation?
It's pretty tough. I think that, you know, obviously you play the reigning Super Bowl champions for the second straight year. That's never easy. And you know, this Seahawks defense is really, really good. And their offense, you know, bringing back Jackson Smith and Jigba, that's going to be a challenge. You up against another great offense and the Rams, and those are two big tests in year one for Christian Parker. So, you know, my biggest question there is when in the season do those come? Is it in the earlier part to where, you know, maybe this unit doesn't have everything clicking just yet. And that could, you know, maybe not spell the best news for the Cowboys defense. But yeah, that's probably one of, if not the toughest division in all of football. I think they had 3 12-win teams last season, if I'm not mistaken. So that's certainly not easy. And then on the AFC side too, you know, it certainly doesn't get any easier. The Texans defense is, I think, the best in football. Trevor Lawrence really started clicking towards the back half of the year last year. And then the Colts, you know, if they can get healthy, they can look really good and really promising too. I know I'm leaving somebody off, but it's all right. So yeah, it won't be easy, and it's going to be really interesting to see how these games are stacked up against one another, how much rest this team has in between games, and so on and so forth, to kind of get a gauge for how prepared they'll be going into each game.
Is there any way the NFL puts the Packers game in a place that Micah Parsons wouldn't be there?
I would highly doubt it, because you're letting some serious TV value go there. You know, I don't know what exactly his injury timeline looks like, to the point where you could say, you know, okay, this is going to be a late season game. It has to be a late season game. But I would expect that if I'm just thinking of, hey, we're trying to schedule this so we can get all the best players on the field. And of course, Micah being the big storyline in that game, I would probably expect it to be around time that he's around and whenever that may be.
Rashawn Gary's probably a little offended. You think that's the biggest storyline? I mean, he's making his return to Lambeau, dude. I mean, that's gonna be fireworks.
Well, that's another one. Sorry, Rashawn, I didn't mean to offend you there, pal. But yeah, there's a couple there.
How you feeling week one about the Giants? And it especially looks like Malik Nabers is going to be out. Got to feel good about starting with a dub at this point, don't you?
Oh yeah, if you're the Cowboys, you know obviously you never want anybody to be injured, but you will certainly take them being without Malik Nabers. It'll be John Harbaugh's first game as a head coach, so you know, might not have everything clicking day one. So if you want to catch somebody, that's typically when you catch them. And I've always thought so much of of Harbaugh as a coach. I think what he did with the Ravens was fantastic, just a model of consistency and winning over his time there. And that's exactly what I feel like the Giants needed. Are they going to all set the table week one? That's the big question. I think right now Dallas is more prepared for that game. If the game was tomorrow, I would pick the Cowboys in it. But I think that certainly is going to be interesting to see how that team kind of develops and grows. It wouldn't surprise me at all if the Giants are pushing for, you know, a top spot in the division or a wild card spot when we come to the end of the year. I think that much of not just John Harbaugh, but their defensive line. I think that, you know, to win in this league, you have to have a great pass rushing unit. And boy, do they have one. So I'm excited to see how they kind of develop over the course of the year. But if you're Dallas, I think you're happy with that being the opener. I think that sets up pretty well for you to start the year off.
It's Tommy Yarish, DallasCowboys.com, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. You talk about that Giants front defensively and how impressive it is. Where do you think the Cowboys have improved the most? What portion of the Cowboys defense are you most confident in?
I would say, I'll split that into two. The part they've improved the most, I think, is their secondary.
Yeah.
I think the bar was zero when you started the offseason, but when you add Caleb Downs, Jalen Thompson, Kobe Durant, you hopefully get Deron Bland and Savone Revel back. I think that's a significantly better unit than you threw out there last year. And then what I'm most confident in, I think, is their defensive tackle room. I mean, I'm good with Kenny Clark and Quinnen Williams all the time. I feel like Otito Obonya might have a pretty solid role in this defense. And, you know, we'll see where this group wants to use LT Overton and how much he'll be used if it is that, you know, four-eye spot that Christian Parker has said can be pretty important in his scheme at times. So those would be how I would split those two. But really, the secondary is going to be fascinating to watch, especially at corner, just because there are so many question marks injury-wise with, you know, the Blands and probably not so much Revel. Now, I think he's trending in a good direction to be able to go for you. But, you know, we all remember what Jerry said about Bland with the foot last year. You know, it was worrisome. You know, how he's got a ton of time to recover now, so you would hope that certainly he's coming out feeling good.
We were just talking about Donovan Ezra-Raku and what he did his final year at Boston College and how much, you know, it underproduced his rookie year. Do you think he can have the breakout year two performance that could, you know, sort of stir the drink here for the Cowboys coming off the edge?
He could. Yeah. I don't necessarily know if I would bank on him doing that, but you know, I don't necessarily need, if I'm thinking of it of, you know, this Cowboys defense and the staff that is being built here, I don't know if I necessarily look at it as like, we need you to have a breakout year. I think you just want to see gradual improvement. I think that, you know, just little by little, it doesn't mean he has to have a 10 sack season. No, but if you know, if you're hitting around the 6 to 8 mark where you're seeing him grow as a pass rusher and still do what he did last year, which was play the run pretty well, I think that's a successful season for Donovan Ezra-Raku. Then you just hope that the supporting cast around him, like a Rashawn Gary and Malachi Lawrence and James Houston, everybody else that they've got in that arsenal, does their job too, because, you know, this team was not that great at getting to the quarterback last year. So they don't need to just get pressure. They need to get sacks this time around. So I'm just looking for growth from Ezra-Raku in that department. I don't know if, you know, you necessarily need a 12, 15 sack season. I mean, if you get that, sure, that's great. You never say no. But if he's improving then in that department, then I think you'd be pretty satisfied.
Who are you more year one excited for? Is it Jayshon Barham or Malachi Lawrence in terms of impact?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think what that's going to be today, just because of how the rooms are both shaped, probably Barham, just because, you know, I kind of feel like if the season started today, he's probably your Mike linebacker. I don't know if he would wear the green dot, but he could. And just because I don't know if there is another one on the roster at the moment, Christian Parker has said that he's going to take reps at Mike this offseason. So if that's the case, then, you know, if the season started today, then I would think Barham, just because, you know, they need somebody in the middle of the defense. They don't have one right now. Can they go out and get a veteran, you know, tomorrow? Sure. But as of right now, it seems like he's, you know, he would be the leader in the clubhouse or one of them in that department. So I would expect him to have a more of a prominent role, if that's the case, versus Malachi Lawrence, who will still get plenty of snaps and plenty of playing time, but it may not be as much as you would see from Barham if he's the man in the middle of this defense.
Tommy Yarish here with you, DallasCowboys.com. How smooth of a ride do you expect this summer to be with George Pickens?
Based on everything I've heard, which is not a lot, I would expect this summer to be smooth. Whether that means he shows up for voluntary stuff, which I don't think he has up to this point, or mandatory minicamp, or even just training camp, I don't foresee there being any major drama. I think it's just both sides understand where they're at. I think George Pickens wants to be in Dallas. He wants to keep playing with Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. It's beneficial for him to, go to training camp and get that time on task. I know they've been, he's been training with Dak at personal fields or personal training sessions, whatever it may be. But whenever it is that Pickens shows up, I feel pretty good about the fact that there won't be, too much negative noise or anything like that surrounding it. And you'll see a lot of the same kind of wow plays that you saw from him a year ago.
Love it, Tommy. Thanks for your insights. Enjoy the schedule release show tonight, and we'll try to catch up with you real soon.
All right, gentlemen. Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Salute. There he goes, Tommy Yarish. Okay, Wolchuk continues to update his projected schedule. Three open dates, just weeks
That's
8,
it,
9,
man.
And 11 is all he's got here. So Wolchuk will be in the next hour or so. He'll expound on those things, Chief. But what do we got coming up next?
Got a Newsbag Nation where beer-drinking World Cup fans are about to be in heaven next in the nation.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with a Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.